Right. The first thing that we would need to do, we do have permission to go a little bit long today. I have a giant suitcase of teaching and testimonies. But the most important thing is we need to pray. So if you could pray with me for about 2 minutes to help us in this endeavor. Because God is in heaven and we are on earth. Father, I ask you in Jesus' name. I ask you in the name above every name that you would inhabit the words that are spoken today, that these would be words of life, truth, testimony to your goodness, your power, and you have overcome, O God. Father, I pray today that you will touch our lives and you will bring the anointing of the power of the Holy Ghost within reach today, Lord God, that it would settle upon each of us as in the book of Acts. Father, help me not to stumble. Help me not to exaggerate any fact, but to tell the truth and the whole truth. Father, for your glory, I am mortal. I ask for your help. I ask for your guidance. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
You probably never saw a preacher get on his knees. I haven't either. But I needed to. Not because I've committed some grievous sin, but because I need to humble myself underneath his mighty hand to be able to let his spirit flow through me. Revelation 12, verse 11. This has been a scripture that we have talked about. There's a song that says, "We will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony." It came to my attention this last week. There's one word that's missing out of that song. And that is him. They overcame him. Who is him? The accuser of the brethren. Now, I don't want anybody to get confused with what I'm about to share, because the testimonies are going to show one thing. The enemy of our soul has no power over us. So a lot of this is going to be diagnosing the devices that the enemy uses against us. And it's not glorifying to him, because you have to be knowledgeable. It says, be not ignorant of his devices. Be watchful, be sober, be vigilant, because your enemy, the devil, prowls about seeking whom he may devour. This is a testimony of 30 years of being transformed, of being totally scared of the enemy in the darkness. His name is Satan, Lucifer, Beelzebub, Lord of the Flies. You can call him anything you want, but he's powerless in the name of Jesus. Absolutely powerless. So we overcome him. Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Him being this one called the devil. Glory. By way of review, we started off our first week with burden that will move you with compassion. Second week, witnessing, speaking boldly. And this week, fear no evil. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And I will not fear the evil one. Because we will overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. He is a liar. He's been for years. This devil, this man named Satan, has been writing bogus checks. He's cashing them in the church. He's cashing them in with, you'll never get away from this temptation. You'll always fall this way. You'll never succeed as a man of God or a woman of God. You'll never be good enough. He's been writing bogus checks and creating fear in the people of God. All along, you see it. You can't do this. You can't do that. He's an accuser when we sin. What's he say? You're worthless. I've heard his voice say that. You're just worthless. No. I was worth the Son of God bleeding and dying on a cross. And that blood was offered up to God Almighty for my sins. I am worthy by the blood of the Lamb. And I'm going to speak it. I'm going to say it. So, when the adversary comes into your life like a flood, when the enemy comes in like a flood, what are we going to do? Shrivel in fear? Or are we going to speak the word of God? When you walk up somebody's driveway and you know God has sent you to that person, Jesus said you will be treading on serpents and scorpions. Yeah, think about that. Treading. We're going to look at some scriptures and then we're going to get into testimony. 1 John 3:8. 1 John 3:8. We're videotaping this for my mom. She couldn't be here. Hopefully she will be in the future. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sins from the beginning. This is what I want you to see. The purpose for the Son of God. For this purpose, that's pretty plain, the Son of God was made manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. That he might destroy the works of the devil. In Revelation 5, John saw a throne, and on top of that throne was one who held up a book. God Almighty holding up a book. No man was found worthy. A loud angel says, "Who is worthy to open this book, to look therein, and to open the seals?" And no man was found worthy. None. Nowhere. No intercessor. No man to correct the divide between God and man. And John wept because God let him feel what it was like. No worthy. No man is worthy. All of a sudden, an elder said, "Weep not! The Lion of the tribe of Judah has overcome. And in the midst of the throne appeared a lamb as if he had been slain." Jesus was the Lamb standing in the midst of the throne for us. John looked at him. He recognized him as the Lamb of God that paid for the sins of the world. You will overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. And John no longer wept. John was filled with joy. And then commenced this incredible worship service with tens of thousands and thousands and thousands saying, "The Lamb that sits upon the throne is worthy. He has put his enemies ready to be his footstool. He is overcome. The Lion of the tribe of Judah has overcome." That's our hope. That's our man that knew no sin but became sin on that cross. Glory to his name. How awesome our salvation. What an incredibly great salvation we have to share. I'm alive. I am alive. And I was dead. The Bible says to serve him as if you are risen from the dead. Just the same way that you served darkness with all of your might, serve God with all of your might. As one risen from the dead. Glory to his name. Be watchful, be vigilant. He huffs and he puffs and he lies. He lies. He cannot but speak lies because he's the father of lies. You see it in the book of Acts. This is very interesting. Take all the action of the Holy Ghost in the book of Acts and all of the counteraction from the enemy. And you see one really incredible word. Paul, when he was Saul, what did he do? He breathed out slaughter. Those words are spiritually taken as you see the Holy Ghost coming into and saving mankind with the message of the cross, and you have Saul standing up, breathing slaughter. That's what the enemy does to us. That's the bogus check that his power is greater than what's in you. If we really believe that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us, if it really got all the way in to real faith, you imagine what God can do with us. Can you imagine what he could propel us to do? I know I'm pushy, but I've been pushed, and he's real. I've been through the fire, for 30 years, and he is real. Hebrews 2:14. I know this really isn't like Sunday school. I understand that. And it's hard. It's difficult to get into a preach without a worship service. It really is difficult to do. I know I'm not a teacher. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, that just means that mankind was born with flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. Jesus was born flesh and blood. This is exciting. This just thrills me. That through death he might destroy him. Do you see what that says? Destroy him. That what? That had the power of death. That is the devil. That Jesus, when he was offered, when his blood rose before God, what did God Almighty say when Jesus said, "It is finished"? What does that mean? The veil of the temple was ripped from the top to the bottom, and access was given to God. The blood was accepted. Just like in the Old Testament when you have the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer and all those sacrifices, the blood went up before God as a sweet-smelling savor. Christ was the sacrifice for us. If we really get a hold of this, you will have something deposited that will change all your way of thinking. You are redeemed. You were dead. Your title of your life said, "Devil owned him. Devil owned him." Right here. Title of life. Yep. No longer. No longer. Two words. Forgive me. You're bought. You're bought. There is a whole other sermon on signing the title and transferring ownership, but that's another day. Destroy him that had the power of death. So where do we see this? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness. To sum it all up, rulers of darkness, principalities, powers, it is the demonic realms, all of them, we wrestle against them. There's two ways to wrestle. If anybody's ever wrestled here, you can wrestle, or you can make it look like you're wrestling. I wrestled for a couple of weeks. I was doing good until I met Joe Whiteford. And Joe Whiteford flopped me all over the place. I said, "No, I'm playing basketball. I am not going to wrestle." No, I did good for a while, but no, couldn't. I met my match. We wrestle not, but we do wrestle against principalities and powers. Wrestle to win. I give you power over all the power of the devil. Jesus said that. He says, "Behold, look at this. I give you power over all the power of the devil." When he said all authority, he said, "Hail, all authority is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go in my name." Is he writing a bogus check? No, he's writing one that can be cashed. Amen. So this is the part of testimony. We got about 45 minutes. I think this will work. My life started off spiritually at about 5 or 6. I was a prayed-for son. My mother said, God, I am barren. I've been trying. I do not have a son. If you give me a son, I will dedicate him to your service. I will work hard as I can to get him into ministry. This is 54 years today. 54 years. Think about that. It's a long time. But it's beginning to happen. I am selling my business, and I am going into ministry. So I was 5 years old and I was praying. And I don't remember exactly the presence of God, but it was there. I knew it. I got down on my knees every night. It was kind of religious, but I sensed his presence. But then he came after me. He came after me with all kinds of things. Family broken apart and various different things through the years, horoscopes and Ouija's and drugs and all kinds of stuff. And I remember a movie that I saw. I think it was accidental. I don't think my mother wanted me to see this. It was called The Blood on Satan's Paw. I was about 8 or 9, and it scared me to death. It literally scared me to death. I couldn't stand to be in the dark. I couldn't stand the idea of a demon out there. The devil's real. I saw the movie, you know, type thing. And even after I was saved, when I was saved in 1979 and I recommitted myself in 81 and started to serve God, and then I got filled with the Holy Ghost in 82, I still had a fear of this unknown enemy, a real fear. We had a couple of missionaries go to Brazil from Faith Fellowship in Watertown. Shannon's, Patrick and his wife. And they came back and I heard rumors of the demoniacs in Brazil coming up and just right in their face with I don't know what they were doing. They were scared, basically. These guys come right up to you and they're demon filled, and I don't know if they had knowledge of being able to get them out. I don't know if when they went back there was any knowledge of how to resist the devil and how to cast out devils. I don't know. But I do know when they first come back, a lot of people heard this, and I was one of them. And I had an even greater fear. Well, I started to listen to teachings about this. And this was about the same time that I prayed that God would give me a burden for people. These are the things that happened in order in my life, that God took me from one stage to the next, and I'm telling the truth. Everything that I'm telling you happened. The first time, after listening to these teachings, I was taking Bob home. I talked to you about Bob. He was the first one that ever got saved that I took to church that really, really responded. I took him home. He lived in Lorain. Excuse me. And it was a Sunday night service. It was dark. Pulled in, talked to his family. Things are really going good because the family was listening. They want to know about the church. And Bob had gotten saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, and I was just excited. I pulled out of his driveway, or pulled into his driveway, and when I left, I pulled like this, and this was a dead-end road. And I'll never forget this. I pulled like this, just about to put it in first, and it felt like something went just like that on my neck. Just fear just gripped me. And I was like, what was that? Man, that scared me, whatever that was. Later on, I discovered that was like a demonic presence that was trying to scare me, to get me out of there, because there was good stuff happening. The next time, I didn't really do anything about that. I did speak, but nothing ever happened. The next time, I already shared about that, where the guy came up the driveway, I pulled in, and I dropped off Bob at the relatives. And Bob's going into the trailer on this side, and Johnny walks up the driveway with a shotgun. And he took that shotgun and he put it right on my window. And he spoke in a demonic voice, and he says, "If I were you, I would get to H out of here." I shook. I testified already, I think, here, for 2 or 3 days, just like this. Scared to death. This thing was real. It's in somebody. I can see it. The next time, well, in between this time, I went to Briar Hill, and I received teaching about this, how to resist this, and the power of the Holy Ghost, and the power of the blood of Jesus. In Briar Hill, I was there underneath Gene and Dee Brown for a year and a half, and I received more teaching and instruction in the Word of God that directed me to, in the future, be able to resist this, be able to overcome this. Because I had a real fear. I really did. And you didn't see very many people in the North Country that had demons. There was a few in a bar, you know, way back when I was sinning, that when they're really, really drunk, they start crying. When they want to beat you, that's when you get out of there real quick. So, anyways, yeah, a little side note there. So I came back from Briar Hill. We had done the Alex Bay witnessing, door-to-door, and we had a meeting in the American Legion. We had over 100 people, probably 200 people in there, actually, and tremendous results with street witnessing. We were interceding all winter long for the people of Alex Bay, interceding and praying and speaking the Word of God on Saturdays before we went to Alex Bay. So while I'm in Briar Hill, we thought we would go through to Augsburg. Here's the second time that something happened that was really frightening, but there was a difference this time. Augsburg was very difficult to evangelize. We had people show up at the full gospel meeting at Stone Fence, about 100, and one person got saved, and that's pretty good for that area, believe it or not. But we had awful, awful time trying to witness to people. It just didn't happen. It was very, very difficult. Well, at that same time, something happened at our house in Briar Hill. This is exactly what happened. My wife and I were asleep. This was about probably 1 or 2 in the morning. I'm laying here. She's laying here. The doorway is right here, about a 6'6" doorway. We woke up with a 6'6" black, tall object in that doorway, at least. Black, and all the hair on the left-hand side of my body was standing up straight, just like that. I was scared stiff. My wife and I are both awake, but we can't talk. We're so scared. We prayed in our mind, first in the spirit, then a little bit more, and then I could talk to her. And I said, "Do you see that?" She goes, "Oh, yeah, I do." I said, "Keep praying, keep praying, keep praying." And we kept on praying. And this was like 10 minutes. This thing stood in the doorway. And we're frightened to death. Like, what's going to happen? Is this thing going to, is this a person? It was so real. Is this an individual? We kept on praying, and then I spoke the name Jesus. When I said Jesus, all the hairs on my left-hand side went down. I know that sounds weird. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you detail, detail. And then I spoke the name Jesus again, and fear started to subside, and it started to get kind of gray. Then she started to speak the name Jesus, and it left. Just like that. It's exactly what happened. I searched the house because I was certain it was a person. The doors were locked. The windows were locked. There was no screens up, nothing cut. Nobody went out and nobody came in except that thing. God was showing me that if I'm going to be evangelizing anywhere near Augsburg, I better be really prepared. That's what he showed me in that instance. But he taught me the name Jesus. Okay, the next time was, I think I already spoke about this, a man named Johnny. We took him to Huckleberry Swamp. We were on our way to Huckleberry Lake, but we ended up at Huckleberry Swamp. Probably 8 of us or 9 of us, trying to guess, but I'd fasted for 4 days for Johnny. He's the one that put the shotgun on my window. He was coming to our Bible study, and I said, I got to do something. So we took him and a bunch of other guys. We had a worship service that night, and that morning I woke up to exactly this. Come out of him. Come out of him, gently speaking in my mind. I'm getting out of my car, Sleepy Seeds, and they're screaming, Johnny's dying. I walked over. This is all I did. I walked over. I heard the Holy Ghost saying, come out of him. And I said, yeah, come out of him, just like that. And that man was delivered of a demon right there on the ground. Everything changed in that man's life. He started to come to our Bible study. He was eloquent. We never heard him speak before that because he was a 30-pack drunk a day, or 30 bottle, not 30-pack, I guess. So I'm beginning to see something, the name of Jesus, and come out. And I'm beginning to see stuff, beginning to understand stuff. Well, then for 17 years, I did not come in contact with anyone that had any demonic spirit. Instead, I raised teenagers, which is about the same. Oh, God. Amen. 17 years of praying and fasting. And during those 17 years, my wife and I did lots of praying and fasting. Well, we started to take in other kids. We started to bring in kids into our house, and we took a young man that didn't have a place to stay. I picked him up at the jail. That led to the next thing that I'm talking about. This was the most unbelievable thing that I could ever tell you about, and it's absolutely true. We had Bible studies every Saturday night, and we would have teenagers come, and they would stay until like 9 o'clock at night. And a lot of times I would have my kids invite kids from the school so that they would be there on Sunday morning. And why don't you come to church with us? And we had a 12-passenger van, so off to church they go. And in 2004, our Bible studies were going fairly well. There was a man named Dan. We won't use the last names. And a man named Matt. Both of these were not saved. And they both had been into drugs. But Matt was listening to me, and so was Dan. Matt would come out to the body shop, and he would sit with me, and he would listen. Later on, he told me that he wanted to hit me while he was talking to me. I was witnessing to him and really getting somewhere, but he told me later on in his life that he used to be so angry when I was witnessing to him that he just felt like jumping on me and smacking me. He's 6'3", and his hands are bigger than mine. I mean, he's a big boy, and he's a farm boy, very strong. That was Matt. Dan's younger brother was living with us. He's the one that we picked up at the jail. And he had been living with us for about a year, maybe 6 months. Sort of blurry in that time of 2005. So we are basically trying to help these kids, taking people to church. And my wife and I were led to pray and fast for 40 days, liquid fast, 40-day fast, both of us. We didn't really know what God was doing, but we just felt led to do that. We did that, and shortly after that, this happened. It was about, first of all, I want you to turn to Mark 4:40. I have never testified about this other than small group Bible study. And I don't know how many times I can say I'm telling you the truth. You're just going to have to take it as truth. we have about 10 or 12 witnesses to everything that happened that night. We were having our meeting. It was approximately 11:45. It had lingered on, and you know how teenagers are, and we were all having a good time. Dan and Matt went down to the river to do some late fishing. They came back and they said, this is what they said. They said that demonic beings had stolen their souls out of the water. This was Tanner Creek. Tanner Creek is down about a mile from my house towards DeKalb. And we thought, oh, they probably got into some bad drugs. Got to be just bad drugs or something. So they wouldn't come in the house. And I thought, that is strange. Why won't they come in the house? Oh, by the way, we were singing, playing worship songs. That's what we were doing. So there was a presence of God and praise in our house. So Dan and Matt stayed out on the road and went up and down the road. And I went out to get them. I went out because I love them and I want them to be part of salvation. And I knew that they were both struggling with a lot of things. So I went out there, and as I'm walking where my property is, down the road towards them, I see that they were going like this with me when I was walking towards them. And I thought, I wonder, what is wrong with these guys? Maybe they're really, really drugged up, like a bad acid trip or something. So we called the pastor, Pastor Rick and Lydell, and they said, don't go outside to them. If they think, they were actually mentioning demons at that time. If you think they have demons, don't go outside and minister to them. So we went inside. We went inside and continued to worship and to pray for them because it was something really messed up with these two men. Here's what happened. I'm sitting in our living room. The doorway is right here to the living room. This is 12 or a little after 12 by the time this transpired. Dan walks in, and somebody was sitting next to his girlfriend, and he said in a demonic voice, I've never heard this voice before, not like this, not since I heard it from the guy with the shotgun. He says, what are you doing with my wife? I am going to be very, very mad. And he said it in a demonic voice. Well, the Spirit of God just went boom with me. I got up and I went right to his face. He was standing in the doorway as if there was a plane there he couldn't come in, standing exactly above it or underneath of it. And I put my nose right on his nose. And this is what I said. I had no idea what I was going to say. I didn't even know I was doing it until it was done. I said, you know what Jesus said. And I thought to myself, what am I saying? What does that mean? You know what Jesus said. I said it twice, and he screamed in my face like a giant roar, like, ah! Just like that, exactly like that. And I said, you know what Jesus said. I said it louder. And he roared again in my face. The eyeballs are this far away from my face. And he just went, phew, just like that. And he ran towards my kitchen and skidded across the floor and went into some cabinets with his head. And this is about 30 feet away from me in the living room. He went all the way across the dining room into the kitchen, sliding on the floor. And I'm going, oh my Lord God, what is going on? What am I doing? I invited these guys into my home and my family's here, and this guy's obviously got a demon. What am I going to do? Fear almost took over my soul. I almost got to the point where I was thinking, I got to call the cops. That's what I got to do. I got to call the cops because obviously I'm over my head here. This is not going well. Okay, so Dan is out in the kitchen, and we are trying to figure out what to do. We had already called the pastor. He told us, keep on singing, keep them outside. Well, they're inside now, and not to go outside. So we're all backwards here. They're in the house, and we're in the house. So here's what happened. Matt started to get angry. He had come in with Dan, and he had slipped by me. I was obviously talking with Dan. And Matt, the bigger one, got into the living room. I don't know how he slipped by me, but he did. He's in the living room, and he's growling at me. My kids, James included, and my wife are holding him back. He is growling at me, and he's saying, let me at him, let me at him, like that. And he's about 4 or 5 feet away. And I'm dealing with, Dan's out there, and I'm looking at Matt. I'm going, there's two of them in here now. Because obviously, Matt has got a demon. He's growling, and he's looking at me, and he's snarling, and he's saying, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to kill you, and all this kind of stuff. And something came over me called love. And I said, let him go. Let him go. He's just not going to hurt me. Somehow, I just knew he wasn't going to hurt me. So Matt is let go. Everybody took off the restraints. And he walks towards me, and I said, Matt, just like this, Matt, you know me. You know that I love you. You know, Matt. Matt, talk to me. Talk to me, Matt. And he came out of that living room of mine. He saw me, and I got about that far from his face, and I saw something happen I never had seen before. My compassion and love for his soul created a power, and this is exactly what he did. As he was coming towards me, and I spoke, and I said, Matt, I love you. I know you. Please talk to me. He went just like this. He went right against my bedroom door, just like this. Exactly, just like that. And I thought, what's he doing? He's collapsing. He's afraid of, there's someone in me. There's someone in me that he's looking at. That the devil in him is looking at someone in me. The compassion and the love that I had for him at that moment reacted, and the Holy Ghost pushed the devil against my bedroom door. And he's like this. And then I'm like, well, obviously, there's something else going on here. And he calmed down, and he began to talk to me as Matt, not as a demon. Not as, I'm going to kill you, let me at you. He was Matt. He was Matt. So, this went towards the kitchen. And they would come in and out, both of them would come in and out of almost like a consciousness. Like they would be demon-possessed, and then they would actually be their person. And I'm thinking, what is going on here? This is wild. So here's what happened. Finally, I said, God, I need help. I mean, my cry for help was heard all the way to the throne. And I took my Bible, this one right here, and I put it on the front kitchen table. They're both in the kitchen. This was either a little bit before or after Matt grabbed a knife and we took it out of his hands. I laid this on my table and I said, God, please speak to me. And I opened it up to exactly Matthew 4:40. This, or Mark 4:40. And God spoke to me. Why are you so fearful? Why, Harry? Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And that's you. That's you, Lord God. I know that's your voice. And my eyes are fixed on that. That's you. And then, 5:8, my eyes went over and it said, come out of him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And then I read, what is thy name? Now these are words Jesus spoke. Can we speak them? Yes, absolutely, 100%. This is what transpired. We were in the kitchen. I took this word. I had them both go outside my house. And above my doorway, I held this up. I don't know why. I held this up and I loudly read that whole section of Scripture. I read it out loud, as hard and loud as I could. We had Matt's mother on speakerphone with a cell phone. Cell phone's right here, on. She's listening to her son get delivered. And right here, I'm reading it out loud. And all of a sudden, something happened. James had gone out, and he was on the front patio about 10 feet away from me. And I'm dealing with Matt, and I'm reading the Word of God, and I looked over, and James had been quoting the names of God, Jehovah, Elohim, and he was going down through, and all of a sudden, I saw James say it may have been Elohim, it may have been Yahweh. He said something, and Dan, who was standing in front of him, went up in the air and flopped on my lawn. And I thought, what's this? What do we do now? He's on the ground and he's flailing. And I'd seen this before with Johnny. I saw this before. So I knew this was the demon coming out of him. So I said, James, come on. I ran out there, stood over Dan, and I said, James, grab my hand. We're going to get this thing out. And I started saying, in Jesus' name, you come out of him. You come out of him right now in Jesus' name. And I said it over and over and over until finally he screamed this horrendous scream. And he got up. This is the exact truth. He ran across my lawn on all fours, just like a bug, like 20 miles an hour, right across my lawn to the front, which was about 300 feet. And he collapsed in the road out there. Here I am. I'm going, okay, he just ran like a spider across my lawn. What is going on? And I felt God say one more time. And I said, you, in Jesus' name, come out of him right now. And it was silence. Dead silence. And I'm thinking, well, I guess that's over with. So I just ignored the fact that there was a person laying out here somewhere that probably had a demon out of him, but I don't know. Really didn't know. I come back. Matt's in my doorway, and he's growling, and he's back to the demon possession. Full blown. This happened exactly the way I'm telling you. I had read, what is your name? Just 20 minutes earlier, maybe. And I thought, if I can get Matt to come up so that I can get absolute permission to release this demon from him, I think I can get the name and I can get him out. Somehow I just knew that. So I'm back at Matt. Dan is out there somewhere, collapsed on the road. I found out later the demon did come out, and he was safe. He woke up in the middle of the road. So I'm dealing with Matt. He's bigger than I am. I said, Matt, talk to me. Talk to me. Matt, please, talk to me. Do you want this demon out of you? Do you want this demon out of you? And I was just inches from his face, and I was imploring, please talk to me, Matt. And he barely was able to come up. I could see his face change, and it changed to Matt. And he said, yes, yes, I want this out of me. Just like that, he said that. And I said, go, glory to God, this is going to happen. And I said, demon, I bind you in Jesus' name. I bind you right now in Jesus' name. You can't control this man. You've got to leave. And I remembered, what is thy name? And I said, I command you, what is your name? And he went like this. He went like this. The demon went like this. And I said, what is your name? I command you by the name of Jesus. You tell me your name. And he spoke these words, and I could hardly believe it. He says, you know my name. My name is Lucifer. And when he said that, the glory of God come on me. I never felt so power-filled in all my life. I said, you come out in Jesus' name right now. And a black object just flew right off of his head. I'm telling you the truth. This happened. A black object flew off of his head. He collapsed in my arms. He prayed and got saved that minute. That's the power of Jesus' name. That's the power that you and I have access to. I am not special. I am not special. Every believer has access to the name of Jesus. In my name, those that believe will lay hands on the sick. You will cast out devils. Now, your specific ministry may not involve a lot of that, but believe me, behind the lines, when you are wrestling against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness, when you pray, when you love people, Jesus is glorified. The demons cannot stick around. They cannot stick around. They cannot prowl about your property. This is absolute truth. I'm telling you, this happened exactly the way that I described it. And I am mortal. I'm mortal. I'm just a farm boy that found Jesus. That's all I am. I'm just an average Joe. And Jesus is able to use me to do things I could never dream of. My fear of the devil has been turned into an anxiousness to see him destroyed. And he cannot hurt me. He cannot touch me. I told my wife, if somebody comes into the meeting with a knife and they weigh 300 pounds and they're demon-possessed, let them come. Because greater is he. Do you understand what I'm saying? Jesus, if you answer the door yourself, you know, in ourselves, no. No. But in his name. In his name. Isaiah 14:12. Isaiah 14:12. The scriptures to back this up are, resist the devil steadfastly. 1 Peter 5:9. James 4:7, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you as in terror. I saw it happen. Resist the devil. It doesn't mean take your hands off me, dirty devil. It means put a fist in his face and proclaim the word of God. It does not mean passive. It means aggressive. Yes. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord in us will raise up a resistance against it, a standard against it. He will flee when you resist as in terror. So Isaiah 14:12 gives you, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet the word of God says, you shall be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. And they that see thee, I hope you see him today. You'll see him then, but I hope you can see him today. Those that see thee shall look narrowly upon thee and consider thee and say, is this the man? Is this the man that made the earth to tremble? Is this the one I was afraid of? Is this the one that shook kingdoms? That made the world a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof? And opened not the house of the prisoners? Is this the one? When I said to him, Matt, I love you, speak to me, the demon inside of him collapsed against my bedroom door. That is the weak, powerless, defeated, destroyed enemy of our soul. He has no right. He has no power. When Jesus said, all power in heaven and earth has been given unto me, what's that leave for the devil? Zippo. Hallelujah. Gotta quit. Thank you, Lord God. Father, I pray that you will use this testimony in whatever way that you see fit, O Lord God, your power and your abilities to use us. Father, help us to be full of the Spirit of God. Like John on the Lord's Day, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Father, help us to be filled with the Holy Ghost and to never, ever back down from a defeated foe. Hallelujah. Amen.